do. Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Mike Paul, Matt Youmans here. Follow the Money. Final hour here on a Monday. And Mitch Moss returning on Tuesday. Paul Howard, whereabouts unknown. Where do you think Paul Howard is right now?
Well, it's probably minus 1,500. He's at home. And then you could, you know, come back with plus $6. He's somewhere partaking in Ultimate X.
Little video poker?
Little video pop. Perhaps. He could be somewhere around here. I don't know.
I don't see him out here. I don't know. Maybe at Golden Gate.
Maybe at the Golden Gate.
He does like to hang out over at the Golden Gate. All right. Matt Moore is going to join us here later this hour as we talk about the NBA Finals recap, how it went from a betting perspective, and also talk about the Kevin Durant trade that went down at an odd time on Sunday afternoon. Mike, just to hit on that briefly, if Adam Silver's got control over what happens in the association, how do you let – a story like that break on the afternoon of Game 7 of the NBA Finals? You got to save that to Monday, right? Dominate the Monday news cycle with this blockbuster trade in the NBA. How can you take some of the hype away from a Game 7 by breaking a story about a blockbuster trade in the afternoon, let's say 4 or 5 hours before the seventh game of the championship series?
Well, he doesn't have – the if is the big part. He doesn't have any control over what happens.
That should never happen.
Well, of course it shouldn't. But, you know, the marketing isn't always the strongest part of these professional sports leagues. It wouldn't happen in the NFL. Do you think there'd be a blockbuster trade an hour before the Super Bowl?
No. NFL's got more control over that. So I was very disappointed. Wes Reynolds was bent out of shape about this yesterday because he wanted all the talk to be about the Pacers Thunder.
Was he in Oklahoma City?
He did. I don't think so. I
heard he was trying to – he was going to watch the first half of the Aces and Caitlin and then fly directly to Oklahoma City for
By
game
the way,
seven.
Not to get off track, but Caitlin Clark with a horrendous performance.
0 for 10, was it?
I thought it was 1 for 10. Was she 0 for 10?
I think she was 0 for, and she hit 1 and, well, whatever. She's like 1 of 18 in her last two games.
Boy, brutal three-point exhibition by Caitlin Clark.
And they had two terrible fourth quarters the last two games. The lead in both games and lost big in both games.
Right. Still fills arenas on the road. People love Caitlin Clark.
They moved that game from Michelob Ultra to T-Mobile, and they sell it out.
All right, so the Kevin Durant news breaks on Sunday afternoon prior to Game 7 of the NBA Finals, which is incredible. But we'll talk more about the association coming up here at 3:30 p.m. Pacific with Matt Moore. Mike, let's get back to NFL futures, and then we're going to break down the baseball card for tonight coming up here in the next segment. But Mitch Moss and I are going to talk extensively about the AFC West on tomorrow's show. A tease to it a little bit on my appearance with Mitch and Paul last week. And the Broncos are a team I'm really high on. There's been a move on the Broncos in this division. And you said you said that would qualify as sharp money on Denver to win the division. The Chiefs have won this division 9 times in a row. But they were 12-0 in one-score games a year ago, and I don't think there's any doubt the Broncos and Chargers have closed this gap.
Do you think the Broncos are ahead of the Chargers? Who, if you had to bet an exacta in this division, would it be Chiefs, Broncos, or Chiefs, Chargers?
I go Broncos.
Okay, I do too.
Yeah,
I go Broncos. That's an interesting way to bet these divisions because they let you bet superfectas, the exact order of finish. Right. And last year, I bet the superfecta of the NFC East. Philadelphia, Dallas, Washington, Giants. And I said, if I lose this, it's going to be because Washington finishes second.
And that's what
happened. It's not the Giants are going to finish above Washington. It's exactly what happened. But it's an interesting way because you see both of these teams, both at 9.5, both at basically the same odds to win the division now that Denver's got bet down. It's a way to bet a matchup almost.
Right. Well, here's what I like about Denver. First of all, we know Sean Payton's going to do his thing with the offense, assuming – you believe in Bo Nix as a second-year quarterback. You never know. You saw it last year in Houston. A lot of times a quarterback who looks so good as a rookie can take a step back in the second year, right? So that's a bit of a concern. But the Denver defense, Mike, led the league in sacks with 63, ranked third in scoring, 18.3 points per game. And if you look on paper, this Denver defense is deeper and more talented than it was a year ago. And that's why I'd give the Broncos the nod here in the AFC West as being – the team most likely to take down Kansas City.
I'm not there yet, but I did bet over 9.5. And I think that they have a puncher's chance to win the division as well. And once you say, now, will Knicks take another step forward? Because he was better than I thought he was going to be in his rookie year. I thought he was way overdrafted. I didn't think he was a first-round quarterback.
12th overall pick, sixth quarterback drafted, arguably the second-best quarterback of the six.
I think he was the second-best. And Peyton puts him in good positions, right? He's always in good positions. He doesn't ask him to do too much. He moves around better than I thought he would in the NFL. I think he uses his legs more effectively than I thought. You didn't see a lot of that in Oregon, but it's a different style in the college game. And I think that it's going to take Harbaugh. They had to really overhaul this roster, right? This was an aging roster with not a lot of depth. I think it give Harbaugh 3 years to get this team to the top of the division. Mm-hmm. They've done it very quickly in Denver.
Well, one thing about the Chargers last year, and again, that was a win total I loved a year ago. Chargers over 8.5, and a lot of it had to do with the schedule, Mike.
Yeah.
Last place schedule with five soft spots on it, and Chargers got to 11 wins. Denver won 10. But the Chargers' schedule is much more challenging this season than it was a year ago. And I felt like it was one of the three easiest schedules in the league. It's a much more difficult schedule this time around for the Chargers. So there has been some money here, it looks like, on the Broncos. You said the movement on the AFC West is what? Broncos, I think, plus 425. That price is no longer available.
They're down. They are down now to, I see at DraftKings even less, but you can still get them at 350 here. Then the Chiefs, the little bit of movement. They were minus 130, they're minus 120.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? So I write up the AFC West for the VSiN NFL betting guide every year. Last year, the Chiefs were minus 225 to win the division. The year before that, even a higher price. The price keeps coming down on the Chiefs to win the AFC West. And like you said, now down to minus 122. How about we talked about the NFC North. We're talking about the AFC West now. Chargers open against the Chiefs in Brazil in week one. Chargers are in Vegas to face the Raiders in week two. And look at this. Chargers face the Broncos in week three. You got division games, 1, 2, 3, right off the bat here for the Chargers. Win total of 9.5. If you ask me, which team is more likely to go over 9.5 wins this season? I'm going to go Broncos. And you get a plus price. I think it's at Circa right now. I surveyed prices from the Westgate Superbook, DraftKings, and Circa Sports when I was doing all the AFC West previews. Best price I found was Broncos over 9.5 at plus 110. I believe that's right where we're sitting. To win the AFC West plus 350, I like both of those bets. And Broncos would be a best bet that I do put in the NFL betting guide.
Let's see here.
You've got the Circa Sports app open here,
which is would match our board out there. It's going to be.
And by the way, Circa offers alternate win totals. What is it, Mike? Three different options on every NFL
standard
team.
And then one over and one under here as this loads. So right away, Chargers are at the top of the alphabet. And the Chargers are, for Chargers, 9.5. The over is minus 125. And for the Broncos, 9.5, the over is, you're right,
plus 110. That's a better bet. Yep. I think the Broncos are a better bet there.
I do. That's what I bet, but I didn't get that good of a price because I can't bet here. I've got even money at over 9.5.
Okay, so let's talk about the NFC West here for a minute, too, because on the report Jeff Davis gave us on NFL Futures, the 49ers getting action and season wins. And here's what I find really intriguing. Mike, I'm sky high on the L.A. Rams this season. I'm high on the Broncos, and I'm high on the Rams. But the Rams have a much more difficult schedule than what the 49ers face. And if you look at the San Francisco schedule, it's one of the easiest in the league. That's why the win total for the 49ers is 10.5 and the Rams is 9.5. So what's the sharp money report here at Circa on the 49ers win total?
So the 49ers win total is getting bet over. And as far as the division goes, you see Jeff's note that the Cardinals got bet a little bit and everybody else just, their odds improved because the Cardinals went from 550 to 420. So when Stafford was being shopped, I started betting Rams futures because I didn't think they were letting him go. I think he's the fourth best quarterback in the NFL. Why would they let him go?
He's 37. He's still in his prime, really.
If they block Jalen Carter on 2nd and 10, they probably beat the Eagles in that game, right? They're marching down to win that playoff game, and then they're going to host Washington in the NFC Championship game. They gave up two big Saquon Barkley touchdown runs. They were probably the better team on that day.
So their run defense was a weakness. Mm-hmm. Well, they signed Puna Ford from the Chargers, nose tackle, who's a run-stopping nose tackle. So they addressed that weakness with their defense. And it's almost like you read my report from on the Rams in the NFL betting guide. In that playoff game in the snow in January, the Rams had a first down at the 20-yard line. They were threatening to upset the Eagles in that game. when Jalen Carter sacked Stafford and they threw an incompletion on fourth down, 28-22. The Rams gave the Eagles a better game than anyone last season.
Including the Chiefs.
Right.
In the Super Bowl. So
well, Chiefs were down 34-0 into the third, late in the third quarter.
So when Stafford was thought to be shipped out, right, they were going to deal him, I took the Rams at plus 210 to win the division. Now, I'm not sure that's even a good bet seeing the 49ers schedule. The 49ers could be average and win 12 games now. I mean,
they could sleepwalk to 10 with that schedule. And you probably don't even like the Niners that much when you look at the depth chart and you look at the team now and all the players that have been lost. But the schedule's ridiculously easy for the 49ers. That's not the case with the Rams. Like, I actually feel like you can bet the Rams to win the NFC, but you don't want to bet them to win the NFC West because the San Francisco schedule is so soft. Time's running out. Enter to win a free entry into the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest. Proxy service included with $21 million in guaranteed prizes up for grabs. Deadline to enter is Wednesday, June 25th, 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Winners will be announced live this Friday on a numbers game. They'll get exclusive strategy access to Gil all season long. Go to winnerscircleproxy.com/vsin to enter now. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/vsin. Interesting. Great giveaway, and it's going to be announced. Deadline to enter is Wednesday, 11:59 p.m. Eastern, if you want to get in on this. Mike, let's talk about football contest. Let's talk about football contest numbers. You threw something out there early in the show today that I thought was worth repeating on a, I would say, a bold projection for one of the circuit contests.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Best bets coming up later this hour in Pocket Plays. Mike Palm, Matt Humans here, Follow the Money. Mitch is going to be back tomorrow. I'll be with Mitch on Tuesday. And Mike, let's talk football contests here because things are really slowing down this summer in the sports world. No doubt about it with the NBA wrapping up last night. But football contest entries are going to be rolling in here at Circa pretty much every day for the rest of the summer. You made a bold projection of where you think the Circa Survivor is headed. I know you have these meetings in the off season, you and Derek, and you all sit around and brainstorm ideas and make projections. The Circa Survivor ceiling is how high, Mike?
Well, with the ceiling, boy, I don't know. I mean, I think that we could possibly get above 20 million, 21 million.
This year.
You went from 9 to 14 last year. It's more than a 50% increase.
You're talking about going from 9 to 20 is a huge jump.
Yeah, that's...
But you think it's realistic, right?
I think it's realistic. We're pacing about 20% ahead of last year. Now, it's early, right? And most of the entries come in. I mean, we were doing 1,000 entries a day the last 4 days last year. Think about that. But I think this documentary that they do is going to be out earlier this year. Remember, it didn't come out till the last week of August last year. Maybe it can get picked up, you know, on a Netflix or something that has a wider reach than just the VSiN channel to create interest in the contest as well. And I just think people love it. It's so brilliantly designed. When you lose, it's always a bad beat. You know, it's some outlier that happens, and so you can't wait to get back in. And so the pacing has been good. Grandissimo, obviously, is a new contest with a lot of perks to it, with the $100,000 buy-in. Totally different strategy. If you only have 20 guys in it, just try to get to October, right? You're probably going to be in pretty good shape. And you can only have two entries instead of the 10 that you can get. So
let's hold it there just for a second. Okay. Circuit Grandissimo, you have one entry in so far.
Yeah.
There's no reason to enter this contest until the final week, unless you're going to use it for marketing and promotions, self-promotional purposes, right?
That's it. There's no other reason to tie up 100K.
Right. Okay, so how many entries do you think you'll get in that last week? Are you going to get to 15?
I don't think I worry about the 15 because the poker players will come in if it looks like an overlay and buy them up. Probably themselves or partnerships and buy them up if they think there's going to be an overlay.
I know of a couple groups. They're talking about, you know, three guys putting in the money together and doing a $100,000 entry. I think you'll get to 15. Are you confident?
I'd be surprised if we didn't.
Yeah,
I'd put the number at low 20s if I said an over-under.
Okay.
Some people have 70. I think that's very aggressive for the 70? First year.
I don't know about that.
I think that's pretty aggressive. Speaking of just
Where would you put the total over under on entries for Grandissimo?
22.5.
Okay.
Something like that. I think we'll get there. I think we'll get there with like a day or two to go, and then people will see that it's a real thing and get in. If not, I mean, if it's not 22 and it's going to be 13, 14, 15 right. with the overlay stuff coming in. Speaking of contests, are you going to get into college contests at the Westgate this
no
year?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I've been calling for this contest, asking for this contest for 20 years. And John Murray and the guys at the Westgate finally coming through. Yeah. I talked to Derek Stevens about it out here at Mega Bar a few years ago. And I understand where Derek's coming from. He just doesn't think there's the general interest in a college football contest that you get from the NFL. And I get that. The college football contest is great for another sports book that wants to offer something different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Golden Nuggets done a contest that offers college football. William Hill's had a college football contest that William Hill didn't really promote. And there was a huge overlay, and that contest is now dead. I think this college super contest at Westgate Superbook is going to be big. I know too. A lot of people want in it. I'm going to have multiple entries in it. Like you said, been waiting 20 years for a contest like this.
Yeah. About 4 or 5 years ago, Paul Howard and I did one in the William Hill. We finished 1 point out of the money. But they're very fun.
Yeah.
Very different, right? And you have
all the games are going to be on the board, apparently. It's not going to be a limited board.
That's the big thing. Yeah. It's not 20 or 25 games, so it should be real fun.
John Murray of the Westgate Superbook was in San Diego with us. Mitch Moss and I. Yeah, he was in that group with us down there yesterday. We were talking a little bit about that. A lot of excitement around the college football contest at the Westgate.
He was a VSiN favorite, John Murray, in the early years before there was some sort of peripheral dispute with something. But he was a favorite.
Some sort of falling out there. I can't remember what the details were. All right, so Circa Survivor. You're saying over under how many million?
So I would put the over under in the Survivor at 18.3 million.
Okay.
This is a pick-up number. But I think there's a good shot to get to 20. I do. And we're going to get these numbers up earlier the way we're pacing now. And I talked to the proxies. And it's about half new players. And the returning players generally buy at least one more entry than they had last year. So I think that's the one thing we do very, very well is this Survivor contest.
The commercials are great, too.
They made me out to be Bookman from Good Times. I look like a Section 8 janitor.
It was good, though.
Throwing the lights on.
The commercials are really, really well done. So you think it's realistic to get to 20 million in Circus Survivor?
I do.
I do, too. I do, too.
The interesting, you say we have the meetings and we decide what we're going to do. I threw out the idea, do we still need a guarantee?
Right.
And that Derek said, yes, we do.
Okay.
That's a very dumb idea. But I said, okay. The guarantees is what makes people sign up earliest. Okay.
And that's, you know, that's the tag for the commercials.
Yeah.
Derek, what's
the
guarantee?
Well, that's the whole selling point, right?
Right.
Put it up in lights.
All right. The Circa Million is a little bit more complex discussion, but I think a lot of people are intimidated by the Circa Million because they feel like even if you have a great season, it's so hard to cash.
Yeah, that's the argument. That's the contest for pros because you got to do 68% or whatever to be in the top 10, which is a legitimate argument. But I think the quarters is what makes it so fun. I mean, can you get hot for 4 weeks?
Right.
And can you get hot at the right four-week interval? There's 126 ways to win. We give out over 300,000 each quarter. And, you know, a lot of people are involved at the end of a quarter. If you get through 3 weeks, you got a week to go or 2 weeks to go. There's probably still 50, 60, 70 entries that have a legitimate shot of cashing. So if there were no quarters, I wouldn't even think about getting in it. I'm not that good to pick five games against the point spread every
week. You got to be lucky, too.
Yeah.
You got to be good and lucky. You remember when I led that last quarter in the Circa?
I do.
I had two bad beats in the last week, right?
Yep.
Didn't have any bad beats in the first 3 weeks of that quarter. Yep. Well, first 4 weeks, I was 17-2-1. No bad beats. Yep. Took two of them in the last week. That's just, you not only have to be good, Mike, you got to be lucky.
But you were in a position you were able to monetize your position.
No doubt about it. But, you know, you never know when the bad beat bug's going to get you in the NFL because you got so many games to just go down to the wire with the coin. Point spread decision being a coin flip at the end. So I feel like the ceiling is much lower for the Circa Millions type contest, where you're not going to get that type of growth in that contest.
Well, remember, the Westgate was setting all the records with, 3,500 people?
Right.
And we with the guarantees. This is now the third straight year we're going to try to get to 6,000. We were about 300 entries short a couple years ago and then less than 100 last year. So we'll be right around that number. But yeah, the ceiling, I mean, I'd be shocked if you got 6,300, right?
Yeah,
you're going to get to the guarantee.
And it feels like the Circa Survivor, who knows how the hell how high that could go.
I think it was Mitch who said like 3 years ago that we'll get to $20 million soon. And I said, oh, it would take us 10 years. Well, it's This is year six. So he was right about that. And it was Amal who said in the, after the first year of the millions that the second year we would have more than Westgate. And I laughed at him. I said, that's crazy. It'll take us 4 or 5 years. But it actually happened in the second year.
Where is Amal Shaw now?
I talk to him weekly.
Do you?
I think he does some boxing work, you know, network work for boxing like Showtime.
I've seen
and
him
Fox.
On a couple of those. And he's doing a podcast.
With Britain, Win Sports. And then he, you know, he plays poker 6-7 days a week.
He told me at one point he was going to open a club in Dallas.
That's where they lost all the money. And I think they got rid of that property.
Oh, really?
They had a bunch of problems trying to open that club, he and his partner.
Okay. My quick handicap of three games in the American League today. We haven't talked about these yet. Okay. You've got notes on all the games.
All right.
And we have talked about one because you've got a best bet. Mike North has got a best bet on another game. Let's start with Rangers-Orioles. Mike North said the Orioles have underperformed according to his system. Right now, the Orioles are minus 122. Total is 9. Rangers at Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean.
Patrick Corbin going for the Rangers.
Yeah, it used to be National Patrick Corbin Day to fade him. He hasn't been as awful. He hasn't been great. Tough series there over the weekend for the Orioles in New York City playing against the Yankees in the Bronx. I thought they should have let the kid have a shot at the no-hitter. I mean, 103 pitches, and you got two innings to go? Maybe he has a couple eight-pitch innings.
I agree. It's Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
Aaron Boone.
It's terrible.
Airhead Boone.
Yeah. I passed on this game. Rangers have been pretty disappointing. I keep looking at this lineup and saying, how do they score this few of runs?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I mean, that's a very difficult lineup to get through, and yet they've underperformed, but maybe Trevor Rogers will get them healthy tonight. I'll pass on this number. Rogers is a very, obviously, only 8 2/3 innings this year, so you don't know what you're getting. You probably know that Corbin's going to give up 4 or 5.
Quick mention of your best bet in the Seattle-Minnesota game.
Yeah, I'm going to fade Bailey Ober here. Mariners were terrific against the Twins on that road trip. Nobody's hotter than Cal Raleigh, and I like Wu a lot here. I laid 122 in this game.
And Mike North had a play on the Red Sox-Angels game. Walker Buehler going for the Red Sox in Anaheim tonight. Red Sox minus 114. What was North's play?
Under 9. Yep.
Red Sox-Angels. If you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com. That's number one. STBet.com. Use promo code VSIN200. Claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Go to firstbet.com today.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Mark Paul, Matt Eumanns here. Follow the Money. Final half hour on a Monday afternoon. Mike, this show is flying by today.
Yeah, well, you're used to doing 4 hours every day. I mean,
3 hours is easy.
It's a sprint for you,
especially with you as a co-host. Great guests we've had today: Brian Edwards, Mike North, and how about the next guest, Matt Moore of the Action Network, joins us now. We go to the Progressive guest line to talk some NBA. Matt, what were your takeaways, aside from the Thunder dominating the third quarter and winning the NBA championship last night in Game 7?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, bum for Tyrese Haliburton. He has such a fantastic postseason, and we're always going to kind of wonder what would have happened if he'd been able to play in that game.
Yep.
It's a tough way for him to go out. But, you know, I also just think that OKC's model of getting younger and defense and depth, this is a real new NBA. It used to be you could not win if you didn't have enough experience. And now we're seeing younger teams be able to last because of the duration of the season, injuries, and what we're seeing just in terms of how teams are built. You need to be young, you need to have depth, and you need to have versatility. And the Thunder had all three.
I wanted to ask you, Matt, you know, we talk about OKC and where they sit with the salary cap and how they're positioned now in a league that's still tough to repeat. How impactful is it, though, that Haliburton might be lost for the year? Jason Tatum might be lost for the year in Boston. Does that, in your mind, make them more likely to repeat next year? How much of a stranglehold, how big of a favorite in your mind should they be for next year's championship?
They should be a favorite, and I don't necessarily know if the market is crazy off right now because we don't know what the free agency is going to look like, what the offseason looks like. But at the same time, I just think that if we look at how many new champions we've had, it's been since 2018 that we've had a repeat champ. And we've seen consistently these teams have trouble staying healthy, being able to keep the same kind of chemistry together. And everything kind of went right for OKC this year. People will say, well, they lost Hartenstein. They did, but they had the ability to get through the regular season with everything else. And now we'll see after a long playoff run if they can repeat next year. I think that's tough. They're well positioned, but I think it's going to be tough for them to have the kind of dominant run people are talking about with them.
At Circa Sports, Mike Palm, the Thunder plus 205 to win the NBA championship next season. Why would you take plus 205 right now? There's no way you're making that bet.
Well, why would you tie your money up for that long at 205?
For 12 months, yeah. Plus 205? I'll pass on that offer. Matt Moore, the Action Network, senior NBA writer with us. Matt, how about you live in Denver? I was talking about the Nuggets. They stretched OKC to 7 games, and the Nuggets had 2.5 men at the end. Which teams in the West can rise next season and challenge OKC and maybe knock off the Thunder?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to look at Houston, even if the market's way ahead of them right now. Mm-hmm. After the Kevin Durant trade, you know, defense, Durant is a pretty good combo. I think you're still going to see the Minnesota Timberwolves actually have more flexibility than you think with their ability to kind of improve the roster. Anthony Edwards getting better every single year. And then, you know, from there, I actually think the West has some vulnerabilities. My big question is going to be, can the Lakers get the kind of help around Luka Doncic? Because if they can, you know, that's probably a buy low spot on them. With that opening number was like 20-1 in the market, down to 15-1 now in the market. I still think that's probably a little conservative, given that you get Luka Doncic, LeBron, whatever he's able to give at this point, and then you do have the ability for them to add centers and wing depth. They can make the moves that they need to. I think the Lakers are probably the one of the more dangerous teams in that Western Conference.
Matt, I want to ask you a question about the Minnesota Timberwolves that you just mentioned. It is my opinion, and I'm no NBA expert, that Minnesota should look to deal Anthony Edwards. I don't believe that he will acquire the emotional maturity to lead a team to a championship, if he ever does, in time that his skills won't be deteriorating by then, and you'll never get more for him than now. Your thoughts?
I don't hate the approach, just if you look at from the maturity standpoint, because it's an underrated thing that makes a huge difference. Teams take the identity of their best player. And so if your best player has the kind of track record that he does with some of these things, but I also just think I've seen so many guys mature once they get over the age of 25, that it really does take 28, 29 is when they really do kind of come into themselves as adults. And that makes a huge difference with their ability to become that leader. Like, he's got a lot to learn, but the talent is obviously there and he's going to continue to get better. I just think for Minnesota, it's hard to find them. Their ability to get a better player than Ant, I think, is a huge question mark. I think they got to make it work with him and do whatever they can to try and get him in a position where he understands what he needs to do to win a championship.
Matt Moore, Action Network with us. Follow at HP Basketball, and that's an interesting topic because you watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander lead the Thunder. He's 10 times more mature than Anthony Edwards. But Edwards, at times, far more dynamic player, right? And I think it'd be hard for the T-Wolves to find a type of star to replace Edwards, but I could certainly see what you're talking about there with the lack of maturity and a team that takes on the personality of its best player. You don't necessarily want that the way Edwards acts right now in Minnesota. At DraftKings, Thunder plus 225, Rockets plus 750. Here at Circa, Rockets are 9-1. Also, the Lakers 14-1 at DraftKings and 12-1 here at Circa. Let's talk about the Kevin Durant trade, Matt. Odd timing, right, for the association to allow that news to be broken on the afternoon of NBA Finals Game 7. And also, Kevin Durant doesn't move the needle for me like he used to. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard not to look at the last three teams he was on. He's been on 3 teams in 2.5 years. That's not a good sign. But I do think that one of the things is that I don't think Durant's able to be the engine of a team now. He right. just can't be the driving force. So the question with the Rockets, though, is maybe it's like OKC, where Shai was great. Shai was brilliant. But the engine of that team was their defense. So if you get that Rockets defense, and you get Amen Thompson taking a step, and Şengün taking a step, and Jabari Smith taking a step, and you add some more veteran help, then I think you really do have a core that could contend, with KD taking the pressure off the young guys, and the young guys helping KD in terms of doing the defense, and having everything kind of function the way that it should. If you're going to find a fit for KD, it's going to have to be something like this. But I do think it's fair to just wonder, like, look, he hasn't been able to lift up teammates. He's been in good situations last two spots, and it's been a disaster. What does that mean for him? I think it's fair to have those questions until he shows he can get them back to a championship level, which at age 37 is pretty unlikely.
What's Durant have more of, former teams or burner accounts on Twitter? He's a very sensitive, very sensitive guy, too. Can't handle criticism. Bouncing now from one team to another. Mike, what do you have?
I was going to ask you about the Cavaliers, Matt, who seem to be co-favorites in the East now at this point of the year. They had horrific health luck in the playoffs, but did earn the number one seed through the course of the year. Do you think the Cavs should be the favorite to win the East?
I think so. You know, they were the best team throughout the entire regular season in the Eastern Conference, and they were at the point where we didn't know if it was them or OKC. And they are going to be able to return a lot. They do have some ability. There's a lot of talk around the league of them possibly trading Jared Allen and what they could get for him. You know, obviously Darius Garland going to miss some time with that toe surgery, but should return okay. They're going to have to reshape the bench. My biggest concern with them is honestly Kenny Atkinson. Is he a guy that can get them through the playoffs? Because I was very underwhelmed by his performance versus the Pacers. They had injuries, but Atkinson didn't help them navigate those injuries at all. So I'm waiting kind of to see on that. I think the Cavs might want to be a regular season play on their win total, rather receding, rather than maybe looking at a championship future, given the price and my questions about Atkinson.
Where do the Pacers go from here without Tyrese Haliburton with the blown Achilles?
I think they'll still probably be competitive. I think probably I'll look at the over for their win total, although the market with where they're at the title odds suggests that number may not be great. They'll still be competitive. Nembhard, Siakam, Nesmith, they're going to retain Miles Turner on something between $30 and $35 million a year. They're going to keep most of that team intact. They'll have to lose some of the bench depth a little bit, but they'll be able to replace that with the draft. They're still going to be great coach, but they can't be contenders without Haliburton. It's just too much of a missing component. He's what made them go. So he's going to miss that entire season. And with that being the case, I think you got to stay away from futures on Indiana, even on a division look with the Cavs in that same division. You're going to need to stay away from it. If they manage to make a major move, we can react to it then. But as of now, I think you got to stay away from their futures. Mm-hmm. But I think they'll be more competitive than people expect, even without Haliburton next year.
Celtics without Jason Tatum. Knicks still searching for a coach. Boy, that's a clumsy situation in New York. Matt Moore, if Mike Palm handed you $1,000 right now and said make one bet on the NBA futures board, what would it be for you?
I'm probably splitting it between Lakers and then going in on one of the Eastern Conference teams that you want to take a long shot on. So we've seen these teams in the Eastern Conference and both conferences, honestly, make runs to the conference finals with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seeds. Take a team like Toronto that wants to make big upgrades, Detroit that's got cap room and that young core with Cade, or take a team like Atlanta that's actually, I think, real well positioned to be better than expected next season. Take a long shot on them. The board's too short right now with all this uncertainty for you to be able to really get value right now.
A lot of people hot on the Rockets after they acquire Kevin Durant from the Suns, but I don't love the deal. I don't love the deal. I don't love Kevin Durant at this point. Matt Moore, the Action Network at HP Basketball. Matt, appreciate the time. Thanks.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
We're going to talk in-pocket best bets, NFL futures, and more as we wrap up the show here on the Sports Betting Network.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 1,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
You're up.
All right. One of the best quotes of today's show came courtesy of Mike North, Chicago sports radio personality, when he said, "It's not gambling when you know who's going to win." Mike North tearing it up in baseball right now. 36 games over 500. He's got a very complex system, Mike Palm. And it's produced a couple of best bets for us on this show tonight. So we'll get to those in a couple minutes. I mentioned once during this show that I was tempted to bet the Cincinnati Reds tonight. The Yankees have a first-time starter, Allen Winans, who's going to go. I think the Reds are going to hit him. I passed, ultimately passed on the Reds at plus 112, and I'm not going to play it. Thought about playing the first five over as well. That was the only thing that got close to me for the baseball betting board tonight. Mike Palm's got a couple best bets coming up. So here we go, in pocket for me. Apparently, my record on this show in 2025, this does not include the guest spots, Mike Palm. This is only the hosting spots. Only the hosting spots. A 2-4 record, but that's plus 1.9 units. So I'm not even sure what those
you must have hit. You hit a future.
It must have been maybe. Oh, it was the NFL draft. NFL draft props. It was okay, gotcha. I did have a Packers to draft a wide receiver in the first round prop, and that at plus 700. Had a few other losers, too. Actually had a good day Sunday, Mike Palm. Had Keegan Bradley to win the golf tournament at 35-1. His prices were anywhere from 30-40-1. Had Keegan top 10 at plus 300. And didn't play a bunch of stuff all over the futures board. The previous week in the U.S. Open, I got crushed. I went 1-10. So I got all that money back from Keegan Bradley yesterday. OKC to win the series in 7 games at plus 500. But did have a loser on Pacers plus 8.5. But it was a good Sunday. Here's what I've got for in pocket here for NFL futures. And these will be in the VSiN NFL betting guide. And I'll expand a lot on the Broncos play tomorrow. Mike Palm and I. Mike likes this play as well. Broncos over 9.5 wins at plus 110. I'm on board with the Broncos to win the AFC West at plus 350. Mike, I believe you said the price has come down here at Circa from plus 425, right?
That's correct. It was 425, and they got bet. And I share your Broncos over 9.5, but not as good a price as you got.
What do you got? You got
even money.
Did you play? Oh, even money?
Money.
Not much of a difference. Yeah. Broncos over 9.5 at plus 110. Current number at Circa Sports.
Plus 110?
Yeah. Broncos win the AFC at plus 350. And I really like the Rams this year again. Who gave the Eagles a better game than the Rams late last season? Nobody. Rams over 9.5, minus 130. Added Devontae Adams to that offense. Added Puna Ford to the defensive line to shore up that weak run defense. He's a run-stopping nose tackle. I think the arrows are pointing up, and the Rams are on the rise.
They also crushed the Vikings in that wild card game.
Sure did. And that's a Vikings team that's got a ton of talent, according to Kevin O'Connell.
Well, this year's team, most talented he's had.
All right, so Rams over, Broncos over. Broncos win the AFC West. Mike Palm, what do you have?
I have two baseball plays. Let's hold our noses and take the White Sox coming back to the South Side after winning that series in Toronto. Shane Smith against Eduardo Rodriguez. By the way, I list pitchers. I don't know. Some books. I know that's kind of a thing going away, that fad, but right. I do always list pitchers. So list Shane Smith here in this game. Plus 128 on this number. Mike North took him plus the 1.5. He predicts his system says they will lose this game 5-4. So he's taking them plus the 1.5 minus the 140. I need him to win the game outright. And then a bigger play. For me is the Mariners tonight, minus 122 against the Twins. I love the pitching matchup here. Bailey Ober, who, by the way, I took him at 150-1 for Cy Young.
Did you?
Yeah, lasted until he couldn't get out of the first inning in St. Louis opening week. Something's wrong with him. They left him in when we were in Omaha. He was up. I don't know who they were pitching against. Maybe it was when Texas was in there. I think he gave up 5 home runs in that game. He's averaging 2.7 walks per 9. Going against Brian Wu, there's no hotter hitter than Cal Raleigh. Twins just got swept at home by Milwaukee. Meanwhile, the Mariners win that series in Chicago against the Cubs. So late 122, list Wu for the Mariners.
White Sox, Mariners for Mike Palm, who is 15-10 plus 4.6 units.
Yeah.
You're on in pocket.
No big future plays for me.
If you want to bet smarter this football season, VSiN Pro can help you. Start strong. The NFL betting guide drops next week. Early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. That's every sport we cover every day at a special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You'll be first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, season-long best bets. All right, the Broncos over.
Absolutely.
The Rams over. Broncos to win the division. I've got some more futures in there as well. Daily best bet email from our expert host and guest. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. Live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app. Full access to VSiN's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to vsin.com/subscribe now. Lock in the football special for just $175. vsin.com/subscribe. Mike, it's how's the baseball season going for you as a better?
I'm down a little bit.
Most people would not admit that. They would say, well, about even or up a little bit.
No, I'm down a little bit.
You post tickets on Twitter, just post pictures of the winners?
No. Okay. I used to have the playbook every day, remember? I put out the Palm Reader playbook.
I remember that well.
Tracked the units for a few years there. No, I'm under sea level baseball so far this year. I've been betting more sides now than totals. I'm an unders bettor, and it's very tough.
Or the Undertaker.
Yeah, the Undertaker. It's been tough. The NHL playoffs, I mean, this is the highest scoring third periods of any NHL playoffs in like 48 years. It was unreal. And it was the highest scoring since 1993 overall. So tough run on the unders. We got our first base runner here, it looks like in Baltimore, the first inning, six up, six down. So if you're a Nerfy better, you cash the ticket there, and your total went from
eight. You bet first inning run props?
No, I can't. There's too much variance. I mean, what's the handicapping there? You can handicap seven at-bats or eight at-bats you're trying to do? I mean, I guess you could fade a guy that always has trouble in the first inning, right. But that's going to be built in the price. Yeah. That's too short. Once in a while, I'll play first three, like under 1.5 or under two if it's two good starting pitchers. But no, I don't play the first inning.
Did you take a close look at that Yankees-Reds game tonight? Did you think about playing anything in Cincinnati?
I thought about playing over 10. Because the Yankees bats have come to life. And to your point, I think Winans is getting a little too much credit for his time in Scranton. The numbers that he put up in Scranton. You did the research. You went back to the starts he made for the Braves.
When he started with the Braves, eight career starts, he had an ERA of 7.20. And that includes a start against the Mets at Citi Field when he threw seven shutout innings. So how bad was he in the other starts?
He was pretty tough.
But again, I don't know how you pronounce his name. Alan Winans.
No idea. Hopefully he's
a loser tonight if you bet the Reds. But again, the thing that threw me off here with Winans, whatever you want to call him, Aaron Boone said he was tremendous at AAA. He did. Posting ERA of 0.90 in 11 games, 9 starts, 59 strikeouts, and 50 innings. But I looked at what's he throwing, Mike. He's changeup, sinkers, sliders. He's got a fastball at 90 miles an hour. I think the Reds are going to hit him tonight. Anyway, that's one of the most, maybe the most intriguing game on the board tonight.
I read a quote from Chris Paddock, former Padre, who's now with the Twins. He pitched there on Thursday in the Great American Small Park. And he said, it's the shortest mound I've ever pitched off of in my life.
Really?
So that's part of the reason the totals
And it becomes a small park when it's hot.
Humid.
Ball carries. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No question. Right after us, stay tuned to VSiN. After Follow the Money for VSiN Primetime, Tim Murray for 4 hours. It's a marathon show. Tim Murray and Will Hill. Will Hill's my regular co-host on Thursday and Friday nights.
He's grilling. Did you see he sent us some pictures? He's grilling listening to the show before he gets ready to go on with Tim Murray.
He's like you. He's got a lot of kids to feed.
Yeah, he's more than me.
I think he's got four.
And they call him Philip Rivers.
That's right. Tim Murray, Will Hill at 7 p.m. Pacific. Excuse me, 7 p.m. Actually, that's going to be 4 p.m. Pacific.
Yep.
7 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, DraftKings Sportsbook Director Johnny Avello will recap the action. Johnny Avello's been in Italy. I didn't know he was back from vacation. Yeah, apparently he's going to be on the show tonight. Cashing Out with Scott Seidenberg starts at 11 p.m. Eastern. I ran into Scott Seidenberg at the South Point Sportsbook on Saturday. I think it was it was Friday night. He's sweating out baseball bets, sitting with in the middle of the crowd in the back of the South Point Sportsbook. Wake up tomorrow, VSiN by the books with Super Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, 7 a.m. And pretty soon there's going to be a new sportsbook out there. In Kentucky, right? Not far from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Mike Palm, Follow the Money.